2000, Mike Hargrove, The Game, Cleveland Indians 4, Baltimore Orioles 1, Oriole Park at Camden Yards, Baltimore, Maryland, attendance 46,902 on Monday, April 3rd, 2000. The weather, 70s, cloudy and breezy. Hall of Famers, Orioles third baseman Cal Ripken Jr., designated hitter Harold Baines, pitcher Mike Mussina, second baseman Roberto Alomar, and Orioles first base coach Eddie Murray, plus Indians first baseman Jim Thome. Game highlights. Coming off a breakout season in 1999, Cleveland's 27-year-old ace Bartolo Colon got the better of Baltimore's top gun, Mike Mussina. The two had finished fourth and second, respectively, in the previous season's AL Cy Young Award voting. Speedy Cleveland leadoff man Kenny Lofton's solo homer off Mussina in the sixth proved to be the winning run. A six-time All-Star, Lofton would finish his 17-year career with 130 home runs and 622 steals, ranking number 15 all-time. No other active player has more than 400. This would be Mussina's sixth and final opening day start with the Orioles, tying a club record set in 1980 by fellow Hall of Famer Jim Palmer. After 10 years in Baltimore, Mussina would spend his final eight seasons in the Bronx with the New York Yankees. Cal Ripken Jr.'s first-inning double off Colon drew the Iron Man to within eight hits of the 3,000-hit milestone. The story. Signs of middle age vary widely. For me, the list included things like close inspection of hair color and quantity, kids becoming teenagers and no longer laughing at my jokes, eagerly anticipated trips to the hardware store, and getting nostalgic about everything. That included looking out on the field and seeing men managing baseball teams who, it seemed to me, had been playing just a few years earlier. Okay, maybe 25 years earlier. At age 39, this was my view of middle age on opening day 2000, as Orioles fans gave a hearty welcome to the team's new manager, Mike Hargrove. He can't possibly be old enough to be an accomplished major league manager, I thought for a wishful second. He's only 11 years older than I am. Ugh. Hargrove wasn't the first man I'd seen play and then later manage. He was the Orioles' fifth manager in seven opening days since Peter Angelos bought the team in 1993. I'd seen one of Hargrove's predecessors, Davey Johnson, play for the Orioles in 1972 and then manage the Birds from 1996 and 97. But I hadn't followed Davey as a player as closely as I had Hargrove during his playing days in Texas. Davey's last opening day as a player in Baltimore was my first on a cold, wet Sunday afternoon 28 years earlier. My boyhood hero, slugger Frank Howard of the Washington Senators, had two less than heroic stints as a major league manager in the early 1980s, which, thankfully, I never witnessed. He did seem to pop up as a coach quite frequently on my opening days for the Milwaukee Brewers in 1978, New York Mets in 1982, and Tampa Bay Devil Rays in 1999. While dutifully traveling with Roundy to Baltimore each opening day in the mid-1970s, my heart remained with the Texas Rangers, knee Washington Senators. The team that played in a modified minor league stadium in Arlington, Texas in 1972 was just as dreadful as the one that played in D.C.'s RFK Stadium in 1971. Yet they still were my team. Unable to watch them on TV or listen to their games on the radio, I was left to track them diligently in the Sporting News, that weekly publication with all the baseball box scores I mentioned in Chapter 1977. Each year, one by one, familiar names would disappear from the Rangers roster. Howard was sold to the Detroit Tigers. Pitcher Dick Bosman was traded to Cleveland. Cut by cut, it was a form of torture. Two one-time Senators blossomed into all-stars in Texas, shortstop Toby Hera and outfielder Jeff Burrows. By 1974, the Rangers added impressive new names to play for 46-year-old manager Billy Martin, who had guided the Minnesota Twins to a division title in 1969 and had done the same with the Detroit Tigers in 1972. The Rangers picked up future Hall of Fame pitcher Ferguson Jenkins from the Chicago Cubs, as well as other big-name veterans such as six-time All-Star third baseman Jim Fregosi and former American League batting champion Alex Johnson. With right-handed All-Star first baseman Jim Spencer on the roster, and the American League now in its second season with the designated hitter batting for the pitcher, Martin spent a roster spot in 1974 on 24-year-old Hargrove, a left-handed hitting first baseman. One Saturday that summer, Roundy took me to Baltimore to see my Rangers. Hargrove was only 40 games into his major league career and was not in the starting lineup that night. His name had been showing up in those aforementioned box scores on a pretty regular basis for weeks, collecting two or more hits nearly a dozen times, ranking him among the league leaders in batting average. Jenkins was facing Baltimore left-hander Mike Cuellar that night in what turned out to be anything but a pitcher's duel. In the top of the ninth inning, after Fregosi cut the Baltimore lead to 6-4 with an RBI single, Martin sent Hargrove and his blistering .358 batting average to face right-handed reliever Bob Reynolds with two men on base and nobody out. Hargrove grounded into a force out, the next two Rangers struck out, and the game was over. Disappointed, Roundy and I headed for the exits. On our way to the car, not far from where we'd met Boog Powell on opening day just 2 months earlier, I spotted Texas pitcher Jim Bibby, who would be starting the next afternoon. Rangers pennant in hand, I sprinted over and asked for an autograph. As he signed, Roundy snapped the picture. Scribble. Click. With the cherished Bibby photo opportunity complete and his autograph in hand, Hargrove's ground out was quickly forgotten. As for the 1974 Rangers, rarely had a team accumulated so many individual honors in a single season without making the playoffs. Hargrove took home the American League Rookie of the Year award, Burroughs was named AL MVP, and Jenkins rebounded from a disappointing 1973 season in Chicago to finish second in the AL Cy Young voting while earning AL Comeback Player of the Year. And for leading his team to only the second winning season in the 14-year history of the franchise, Martin was named AL Manager of the Year. I saw Hargrove play a few more times in the 70s, including opening day 1977, when he singled and scored off Jim Palmer in the Rangers 2-1 win. After five seasons with the Rangers, Hargrove was traded to San Diego. His departure from Texas after the 1978 season coincided with my defection from the Rangers to the White Sox. I lost track of him for most of the next two decades until he reappeared as manager of one of the most dominant teams in baseball in the late 1990s, the Cleveland Indians. He led the talent-rich club to five straight AL Central Division titles and two American League pennants. Yet the Indians unceremoniously dismissed Hargrove 4 days after falling to the Boston Red Sox in the 1999 American League Divisional Series, another disappointing postseason effort. Cleveland General Manager John Hart explained the firing at the time. "If anything," he said, "it sends the message this club is serious about going to the next level." That next level proved elusive for Cleveland and for Hargrove. Hart stayed only two more years in Cleveland. In the decades that followed, the club advanced to the World Series only one time, losing to the Chicago Cubs in historic fashion in 2016. Hargrove had few healthy weapons in Baltimore, and his teams finished in fourth place each of his 4 years at the helm, from 2000 to 2003. Although he was the first Orioles manager since Earl Weaver, 1969 to 82, to last more than three full seasons. Grover later managed two more losing seasons in Seattle in 2005 and 06, and abruptly walked away from the game for good midway through the 2007 season. For the box score, play-by-play, and that 1974 picture with Jim Bibby, visit openingday5050.com.